Ladies and gentlemen, Edelman. It's a really big space. Edelman. It's still going.
Wow.
It's coming back. Edelman. Yeah, sorry. That's not how physics works. How's it going, Larry?
Not too bad, man. I'm actually doing pretty well.
Wait, I didn't welcome them to the episode yet.
Oh,
sorry,
haven't.
That's my fault. Welcome, aforementioned ladies and gentlemen, to episode number 182. The blink episode, if you will, of the Ant King Frequency.
No, we did not do that. That's not, we're not going to take our pants off, you know, that stuff.
It's all right.
Whatever.
I'm proof there's a God, because when I unclothe, everything pixelates for the sake of the viewer.
Thank God.
Gonna test it.
Yeah, I'm actually in pretty good spirits. No. I'm in pretty good spirits because I had recently rewatched Return of the Jedi. Oh. Now, granted, it's a part of this. I picked this up back in 2004.
Oh, so this is one with the janky Sarlacc.
This is the janky Sarlacc. This is the Jedi rocks, but this is the one that doesn't have the no. When Vader throws Emperor into the reactor core.
Okay, there's one redeeming feature. Does this have Jub Jub?
No, of course it doesn't have Jub Jub. Jub Jub when after 97, Jub Jub, Yub Nub.
Yub Nub.
I mean Yub Nub. Yub Nub was excised completely after 97. Because they wanted, because here's the thing, in 97, here's my theory. Yub Nub wouldn't work with the, because, you know, like they're after Luke's burning Vader's body and you see the fireworks and everything. Everybody's happy. And you see all the other planets and stuff. You see, like, you know, Tatooine, you see Coruscant. Actually, in the 97, that's the first time you see Coruscant. That's the first time you see it. So it's kind of like, hey, this get used to seeing these worlds. It makes me wonder, in the 97, the theatrical release, the first, did they have Naboo in that? Because if they had Naboo Coruscant, that makes sense. Like, they're like, hey, get used to these worlds. This is upcoming. It's kind of like when they do a comic book and they add new stuff into it, new material. That's what it makes me think of. That he did that. But, you know, like, yeah, it needed not only Lappy Neck, which is that kind of that funky, you know, disco, whatever,
that was cool. Yeah.
And then Yub Nub, but it didn't need the Sarlacc pit, and it didn't need the Han line, you know, the orcs, you better now, you know, like this really quick, hey, trust me, it's okay. He's like blind firing it at Lando while he's got the Sarlacc tentacle around his leg. But I'm watching it, and even with the changes, which is unfortunate, but it's like really only like two major changes, I guess you could say. And I'm watching it, and it's so good. I love, and it's like this. You see, it's like this used to be the worst Star Wars movie. Everybody used to say, like, "Oh, Jedi, that's the worst one," the one with the teddy bears. But then you watch it, like there's like these human moments in it, like with the Sarlacc, the Rancor. Handler,
yeah.
When he's like, you know, the Rancor's dead, and he goes in there. He's like, you know, heartbroken. He's basically seeing his pet. He starts crying, and like the guy's like consoling him. Hey, man, it's okay. You know? And then the Ewoks, they get blasted by the chicken walker, and then like one of the Ewoks gets up. He's like, you know, in video games, he'd have the ringing sound from like Call of Duty.
Yeah,
you know. Like that, and he's like, he's like trying to get his buddy up, and his buddy's dead, and he's like just like slumped over. It's like,
yeah,
he's like, you're like. Damn, this is like, and I never realized something. I've watched that movie, watched Return of the Jedi, probably close to 300 times in my lifetime. A lot. I mean, I wore out VHS tapes.
Yeah, it was my favorite Star Wars, so I've watched it an infinite amount of times.
Two things I realized I'd never realized previously. One in particular, on the sail skiff, on the skiff when they're about to be thrown into the pit, the Sarlacc pit, Chewie gets shot and he's bleeding. I never remember this. I never realized this. I've been watching this thing nearly 30 years, 20, you know, close to 30 years or so. And I never picked up on the fact that, you know, like the reason Chewie can't really help out because he gets shot in the leg by a blaster and he's bleeding and he's like, he, he can't do nothing. And then all these years, I thought I was I cracked my skull open, thought being Indiana Jones, I was actually being more like one of the Ewoks, the Ewok that takes the speeder bike to distract the other stormtroopers.
Oh,
he just grabs himself onto a vine.
Yeah.
The speeder is going. He just grabs onto the vine, and the speeder goes. They keep following it. And I basically did that correct. I'm not an Ewok. I can't just take a lick and keep on ticking.
I think you're not an Ewok. That.
But
I think you're very much the antithesis of an Ewok. You're an anti Ewok. You're a co-way.
I'm about to say, no, I'm more like the guy in the bar in New Hope. You know, he doesn't like you. I don't like you
either. Is that Ponda Baba? Like that. Is that his name?
Pandu Baba? Bando Poovu?
I just realized like Ewok is an anagram of woke.
Woke? Yeah, well, they are little people fighting the white supremacists. You know, like, there you go.
Right? Now I really want to do a t-shirt that says "Stay Ewok."
You know what you need to do? You need to have a draw a picture of an Ewok and then put like, there's like 80 shades on, and it's like just it's woke. You know, put woke.
Sort of revolutionary like style. Stay Ewok. He's got like a little furry fist in the air. And, yeah.
It's a little club foot fist. It's like that. Oh my god!
So a stormtrooper head mounted on a pike, and just stay Ewok.
It's terrifying. It's these little things. Like, you know, they play the Ewok hunt mission in Star Wars Battlefront 2, where you're a stormtrooper and you hear doo, 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 and it's like pitch black. You got a flashlight that runs out of power. You just got a blaster rifle, and these things are throwing fireflies at you that set you on fire and charging at you with their spears, stabbing you to death. And I thought, I have like maybe call it an excuse, maybe call it head, whatever. The reason the Imperial soldiers were not doing so great against the Ewoks. Dude, they're probably unfed. The armor really isn't armor. It's probably just like it's probably just plastic because they're spending all their money building the Death Star 2. That the economy's just gone to hell. So they're not giving them proper weapons, proper armor, proper food. They probably have like the crap ration. So it's not just like Nazi metaphor. Or the Nazis were doing the same thing. Hell, the Nazis were conscripting children at the final days of the war. The Wehrmacht was made up of old people and children. Yeah, you know, the Russian. Well, America wasn't, but you know, that we know of. But it was just it. So I was thinking, like, they're malnutrition. They're in crap armor that's probably not fitted right or made molded properly, and then it's also not proper armor. And savage teddy bears with 20 sticks and rocks are throwing them at you. It's like, what are you going to do? You're going to fight back? You got no energy. You got no protein in your system. Maybe the Empire's full vegan. Maybe that's another thing. Maybe they went vegan and you don't have that proper proteins to rebuild the torn muscle tissue.
It is terrifying. Absolutely terrifying. Oh, do you hear that?
Uh-oh. Shuts up. Red alert.
That's all right. It's just the Segway alert. You know what else is terrifying, Larry?
What is else terrifying?
Elon Musk.
Really?
Really?
What's so terrifying about Elon Musk?
Well, the fact that he's pretty much an unfettered madman, for lack of a better term. I mean, he's pretty much Adrian Voigt from Watchmen. He's now declared he's going to build a mecha. And I wanted to know, Larry, what would be the actual use and eventual result of a mecha today?
frequency. The Ant King of frequency. The Ant King of frequency. The Ant King of frequency.
I've lost you. Damn it. Did you look something up? Now I can't see you. I can't hear you. You opened your browser, didn't you? Larry, can you hear me? Larry. All right. I'll disconnect and I'll restart again.
All right.
All right.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. And okay. I okay. can see you.
All right. Hopefully this will work this time.
Okay. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, we are back. That wasn't planned. We did, in fact, get shut down by the man. And this is what I think, or this is how scared I am of Elon Musk. I think if there was any one person who had subroutines programmed into the heart of the internet to make it hard for anyone to talk about him, it'd be this guy.
I disagree. Here's the thing. This is a guy who has said AI is like a demon. It needs to be stopped. It needs to be shut down. He's anti this. But on the other side, he'd be more like one of the guys that would he'd probably blacken out the sky to prevent the machines from using solar energy, and he'd build the mechs to fight the oncoming 01, the machine nation. He'd be responsible for turning the skies black.
He's the bugger that would seed the skies, Matrix style.
This is the kind of thing. And honestly, if he's gonna build a mech, is he gonna like the joke in the first thing when I saw that was he gonna use government subsidies for that too? Because everybody's like Tesla, the rest of the stuff. The U.S. government's would say, "Hey, here's some money. Here's taxpayer dollars to make your it's environmental friendly." Yeah, but the only reason it's somewhat, there really is no profits. Cause, well, I guess there is in a way, but he's government funded, so it's like if Amazon government contractor, Musk, and then they government contractor talking about like wanting to put this is more interesting part the there are these batteries that he wants to put into people's homes that could basically like you cut people off from power grid,
yeah,
so you just have these like renewable batteries.
Well, he did that to a whole state here. We've got a state called South Australia, which is I know you'd think it's just the lower half of Australia. It's not. It's just a little chunk in the middle. It's famous for its prevalence of churches and murders. Serial killer capital of Australia.
That's wonderful. I will be avoiding that area.
Anyway, because of, I don't know, the remoteness, the lack of funding, the general fear, the amount of married people related to one another before marriage in the area, I don't know, but there's not a reliable electricity supply. It's the first state that gets hit with rolling blackouts in summer, as well as any other difficulties, is if there's any kind of shortage or flow problems in the power supply, they can be out for days, if not weeks. So our government was buggering around with solutions. Obviously, coal is one solution that's worked for the past 100 or so years, but that's kind of hamstrung by new environmental accords, which do have a time and a place. And probably the biggest enemy of energy production in this country is greed, where you have a lot of our energy suppliers selling energy to Asian countries for cheaper than they're charging citizens here. So, and then they're telling us, no, you're going to have to not use air conditioning in summer. You're going to have to expect blackouts because there's an energy shortage. And yet they're making money hand over fist by selling it abroad. Utmost level of rat bastardness there from these absolute pigs of human beings that extorting and rorting what used to be a government-controlled thing? I don't know. Is energy privatized there in the States?
It is, but there are regulations. There's a pretty good amount of regulations going on there.
Right.
Because we have we have a lot of coal. We still have nuclear. Honestly, I think I'm surrounded by three nuclear power plants. So it's like I'm kind of screwed no matter what. If a war happens,
really.
I got nuclear.
Statistically, nuclear is far safer than coal.
No, I'm talking about any kind of conflict, any kind of war.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Because here's the thing: if war starts, do you think they're any hostiles are gonna let the nuclear power plants go? No, they either let them go melt down or they're gonna take them over. So it's gonna be either no power or they're gonna go Chernobyl.
Yeah.
Anyway, but when it comes to Musk,
I'll finish the South Australian tangent. Okay. So he recognized the opportunity for this unending power dispute going on in this state. And he came in and said, well, look, I'm going to build a Tesla battery, I guess, so to speak, powerful enough to power the whole state. And he built it out in the middle of nowhere. And it's in 1 year, I think, made back a third of its costs already. So,
well,
and they've had zero downtime. So it's kicked in every time that there's been a failure in the power supply.
I need something like that here, because what happens is we still have above ground power lines for power transmission, like most places do, which I understand why putting them in the ground is not as easy as it would be for a city. But considering we have a lot of, let's say, quote unquote, dreamers that like to get drunk and drive without a license and end up hitting power poles and knocking out the power.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's like, and also if they are still alive, they usually flee the scene of the crime on foot if they can. But taking out the power, it's like having a battery backup. That would be very nice. One that would last quite a bit. But yeah, stuff like that, like. You know, he has good ideas. If I'm not mistaken, he's South African, right?
I've no idea. But he's seen as somewhat of a local hero here up until recently because of that whole South Australia fiasco.
So he's going to build like some Omnic factory in South Australia.
Yeah, well what exactly did he say today?
That he is flippantly talking about building a mech. Yeah, because I sent you the screen cap.
Here we go. Elon Reeve Musk is a South African-born American entrepreneur and businessman who founded XCOM in 1999, which later became PayPal, SpaceX in 2002, and Tesla Motors in 2003. Musk then went on to join the Antwoord as their synthesizer.
No.
MNU.
He's building his guns. He's taking the prawn weapon. He's making prawn weapon for AI battle. The prawn. But yeah, it's this, you know, I will, you know, hey, PayPal, pretty much everybody uses PayPal. And then, you know, SpaceX, like there's people thinking they don't understand how this is, it's scary. Everybody has these smartphones. They can record this. SpaceX did a launch from Vandenberg Air Force Base in California, which is one of the backup places for the space shuttle to land. When honestly, the space shuttle was a dumb project. They should have just kept with the standard, the rockets, but whatever. They're much safer than the space shuttle. But there was a launch from Vandenberg. There was a SpaceX launch. And because of when it launched and then the booster separated and it went, you know, to orbit, the Earth rotates 24,000 miles an hour. It leaves Vandenberg. The Earth keeps rotating, but the rocket keeps going, you know, where it is. It keeps going straight up. It's independent of, you know, it doesn't have that rotation. So people in Nevada, Arizona, and so on, Utah, were seeing this giant bloom of energy and like this, like, is that a star? Is that a meteor? It was like, no, it's a rocket going into space. And people just didn't look it up. It was like, all right, it took me like 2 minutes to figure out what was what, like to, you know, all the rotate. But it was stuff like that. So the prevalence for people to trust AI and Elon Musk against AI. So maybe he wants to build mechs because hey, who would you rather fight? Would you rather fight Terminators and Hunter Killers by hand with rocket launchers?
Why does he want to build mechs?
That's the thing. I'm not saying the guy is evil, some kind of Dr. Doom. People referred him like the real life version of Tony Stark. Tony Stark was a dick. You know, he was a warmonger. Mm. I don't see that. But Musk, I could imagine if Victor Von Doom didn't have Reed Richards to fight with. He was not like this guy who was always fighting the Fantastic Four. I see Musk more along those lines. What he sees is he does is right. And I don't see any logical reason other than a mech being cool. Also, he's mentioning somebody's like, are you a fan of Evangelion? He's like Nerve. Those don't understand the Ava series. They were basically people piloting around angelic / mother. They took bits of their mother DNA, kind of sort of, and put it inside a basically angel cells.
Yeah. They found compatible women, made giant organic meat robots out of them, and got them piloted by their own children.
Exactly. It's a bit more complicated than that, but that's the best way
to find Bible contextual angels.
God is trying to stop humanity from tampering with things it doesn't understand by sending angels down to stop them. But of course, humanity's good at one thing: destroying. Yeah. It destroys the angels. And I'm surprised God's like, I think God's like, all right, I give up. Fine. Just destroy your earth. I don't care. I just don't care anymore.
So what bothers me about all this is that the guy has a habit of thinking before acting, and this has really run him aground recently in the business sense, with alienating a lot of his shareholders and major investors. In an unrelated incident, last year he manufactured a run of flamethrowers because he lost a bet.
See, that right there, though, here's the America. This is America for you. Americans, if you've seen Predator, the minigun from Predator, the one that the old painless as Jesse Ventura uses against the forests, against these communist guerrillas in the jungles. That's actually legal in America. If you can get a hold of one of those, that's actually illegal. Flamethrower is legal in America.
Right. Well, in Britain, some people who'd bought the flamethrowers did get into a lot of hot water.
Were they using the flamethrowers in a cold tub and like, I gotta heat this up?
No, even just activating one in your backyard
They don't have a yard, and they don't really have a yard over there. You know, like a yard here is, you know, like a small football field.
I know, here in America. But the argument here, we're not arguing about the legalities of flamethrowers. The argument here is this guy mass produced a flamethrower, 50,000 units, to prove a point. He doesn't have any limits. He doesn't have anything holding him back. Now, is that the type of person who should be building a giant robotic suit? Well, not robotic, human-controlled mechanical suit.
I say yes. I the reason I say yes is because you want someone that's willing to go the extra mile. Do you want, you know, somebody that's going to be cautious and take, you know, be very meticulous about things, or do you want a guy that, you know, the Dr. Doom type that's going to headlong into it, who's confident enough about himself and what he could do that he gets it done? I choose the Dr. Doom type. I think he'd be more like Doom 2099 than the classic.
It bothers me that you're more confident in the fact that he's Dr. Doom that hasn't been oppressed by Reed Richards, when I see him more as he's Dr. Doom that hasn't had his disfiguring accident yet.
Well, look at it this way. America, especially post World War II, we went into space on the backs of Nazis. Wernher von Braun and the rest of those people, Operation Paperclip, our spy agencies, our NSA, CIA, especially CIA, was built on the backs of the SS and Gestapo, and they had Nazi agents in Europe. We worked with very horrible people. We, you know, the Unit 731, the Japanese, you know, the where they would, you know, freeze people and cut people open alive and horrible, horrible stuff. I have a feeling we probably used that technology, that knowledge. I mean,
yeah.
And Musk is at least open with the fact that he just doesn't. He's like, oh wow, why build a flamethrower? Why not? You know, I want to build a mech. Why not? and stuff like that. It, you know, maybe if he starts talking about building like the equivalent of those who have not ever seen Gundam, they have these things called sides, which are giant floating tubes in space that produce artificial gravity. Maybe he wants to have mechs, so in case he wants to build a side and it wants to break off independence from Earth, it can. And it can defend itself from a spaceship. Because it's like, well, why wouldn't you build a space plane? Well, can a space plane grab onto the hull of a ship and open it up into the vacuum of space? No, it can't. You can shoot it, but it, you know, like, but you coat a mech in some rubber and then send it out into space that no radar would bounce off of it. So it would be like a Blackbird.
I think this is a guy who's increasingly paranoid. This is a guy who's, you know, he's known to consume marijuana. He's known to get drunk quite a bit. I haven't done the former, but definitely done plenty of the latter in my day, less so after having kids. But this is a guy, again, that I say without limitations. Now, I do approve of his insistence of enforcing some kind of control, some kind of regulation on artificial intelligence. It's not just him. It's anyone with half a brain in the industry is saying that there needs to be some kind of check and balance in place to make sure that we don't create something that can outthink us. And I mean, did you see the Boston Dynamics latest Atlas robot run up some...
I can't boxes. Watch those things anymore. The last one I saw was the I believe it probably was Atlas, the bipedal, the yep, humanoid one. It was one before that. This is a demonstration before that. And the only thing I actually started looking up what kind of rifle rounds to take down robots. I was looking into here's the thing. If it's all metal and it's probably going to be coated in some kind of like flak jacket material or something, even to prevent that, I want to learn how to kill robots, because I don't have a laser, I don't have electromagnetic gun, I got kinetic rounds, I got shotguns and rifles and stuff. I want to be able to stop a robot. He's like, oh, that's funny, haha, do whatever, oh Larry, you're so crazy. But if a robot comes forward, what are you going to do? You want to talk it down? If it's programmed to kill you, it's going to kill you. It's not going to break its programming. It'll use its bare hands. It'll use a knife. It'll use, you know, whatever. But it probably won't use any kind of electric weapon. But
I think you'll need some kind of high velocity round, and adept knowledge of where its hydraulics and or central processing units are, because it can,
or
it,
very least joints. Yeah. The very least go for the joints.
It can be the cleverest robot in the world, but if it can't, if there's too much friction for it to move, there's not much you can do.
Yeah, but that's one of those things. Get some thermite paint, paint it with some thermite paint. Yeah. I don't know, just, you know, Kudo with thermite paint. But it scares me. But if let's say Musk is on the side of the angels. Not those angels, but the other angels. Not the Evangelion angels, but as in the sight of good. What do you think? Do you think, like, are you thinking he wants to mech just for fun, that he could pilot one around for
I think for this giggles? Guy has Everest syndrome. I think he just wants to be the first. He's that guy that wants to be the first to comment on your YouTube page. He's the guy that wants to be the first one to call you on your birthday, or he just wants to be first. He just sees himself as the center of the universe and some kind of beacon of humanity. You know that speech in Man of Steel where Russell Crowe is saying to Kal-El, you know, they'll follow you and they'll trip over and all this other stuff. You'll lead them into a new age. I think Elon Musk thought that was directed at him.
That's, well, but don't you want somebody, like, part of me, you know, very cautious of people like that, but other part of me is you need people like that. You don't need unconfident, you know, I don't know about, I really don't know about that. I'm not so sure this will work. Like, you don't want those kind of people.
Earlier today, today in Germany, a pilot of a little single wing thing tried to land, aborted the landing, took off just at the last minute and crashed into a crowd of people on a mountain trail near the airfield. Killing a woman, her 10-year-old son, their friend, and injuring about 18 other people in the crowd. They had nothing to do with the airfield. They were just walking through this pass a few kilometers away. If we can't get aeroplanes right, if they're still subject to human error, I'd hate to see what a mecha is doing. Now, that being said, he's not the first here with mechas. I mean, there was a challenge for an America versus Japan robot fight. Do you remember?
Yeah, if this is the one I think it is, I actually saw the video and it was kind of sad.
It was depressing.
It was sad robots. It was like these mechs. I will say it's like you could tell which one was American because it's like bulky. It's the real life robot jocks. The Stuart Gordon film, except no robot chainsaw penis. Not yet. Anyways, give it a few years, you'll have one.
But it just looks depressing. They were basically big cars going at each other.
Yeah, it was. You know what? I'm willing to, with a mech, you know, I'm willing to give it. You could have tank treads. The gun tank from Gundam had tank treads, but depending on what you're going for, depending on it, you not everything, like the multi-purpose mech that, you know, like they had Gundam. You had the gun tank, which was meant for ground combat. It was basically tank treads with a torso, with a head, arms, and then cannons. It's, you know, it's not to be messing around. Then you had the ball units, which are basically just the spaceship, the shuttlecraft that were seen in 2001: A Space Odyssey, except with a gun on it and call arms, so it could grab on to stuff. It's like a, you know, a rail gun or a ballistic gun. It's probably not magnetic, but because you'd have power source and cooling and all that.
But you're talking about armored vehicles for combat.
Yeah.
For military style combat. I mean, what about something more like in Pat Labor, where it's basically a high capacity protection vehicle? I mean, why do we need it? What purpose could a mech serve that we don't already do?
Well, that's the thing. I can't. I mean, maybe that's my lack of vision, my lack of imagination when it comes to it, because. Only thing I can think of is that we've gotten so far away from, like, hell, we use UAVs when they do these, you know, like, oh, we got a high value target in Yemen. Let's use UAV, you know, we got a kill order on it. So they just use a UAV, fire missile, kill somebody. And boom, there you go. It's the person's dead. And it's, you're in Nevada doing this, you're north of Vegas doing this, and the person's in Yemen. It's to go from that to going to, hey, I'm a pilot, get suited up in my flight suit, you know, and then get in my mech and then get strapped in, power on, and then go out and start stomping on people and using a machine gun, a Gatling gun, and, you know, fighting that. Unless there's like some kind of alien invasion, maybe some creatures from the deep are about to rise up and he knows, but he's like, if I tell people, There's monsters coming and we need mechs to fight the monsters and nobody will believe me. It's like, I can maybe see that.
What I'd believe more if I were to put this into context, because you know how his Mars ambitions have been stymied repeatedly by scientists and other such people saying, yeah, you can't terraform Mars, you know. The core of Mars is not full of ice. Total Recall was just a movie, you idiot. I wouldn't be surprised if he's come up with the idea for, and we're thinking way too big here, more of a exosuit, an exoskeleton-sized mecha. You know, a mecha doesn't have to be this giant skyscraper suit. It could be something like an Iron Man type suit.
Or Shiro Masamune, some kind of apple seed, black magic, you know, that.
Basically, something that enables exploration as well as maintenance and engineering without the
construction
need.
Construction, too.
Exactly.
Construction, because to haul a crane and a bulldozer and all that, but if you have a mech that has it's a multi-purpose construction mech, excavation, construction, where. The problem with Mars, you could terraform. You could possibly put an atmosphere, but without the electromagnetic field that protects it from the solar cosmic rays and everything. Anything you put on the surface, you'd have to basically be covered by greenhouse. Like you'd have to always walk around. Even if you get oxygen, you'd always have to walk around with solar protection. Basically, you'd have to. It'd be like wearing a beekeeper suit. Yeah, you could breathe, but you'd have to watch out for a solar flare or something because it would, you know, it could cook you. Because if they're,
I'm there sure that they're, by the time we're living on Mars, there'd be massive degaussing screens or something that are up there scrambling the radiation coming through the glasses. I don't know.
Perhaps. Or just living in the ground, you know. There you go. Just what living. That well, I don't know. Go all the way to Mars just to live under the
get ground. Your ass to Mars. It doesn't sound like a better alternative. Sleazy, demure.
But it's not a proper alternative. But with a construction mech, I could see that. But the downside is...
Oh, mate, wait, why are we thinking all the way out there? What if he's looking to explore the depths? You know, the Marianas Trench, the Bermuda Triangle.
True. Antarctica.
That's a part of our own world that's far closer than the Mars that at the moment is off the books. And yet we could completely... And utterly terraform it, hopefully with little damage to the ecosystem around it.
Yeah, that could be interesting to see. You can go in with one of these suits, and then, like I said, like just like construction engineering, like you said, engineering and everything, that you can utilize one of these instead of, you know, for combat, but for building.
Yeah.
And because, you know, wow. I have to use a crane and a forklift. Not gonna just pick this up, put it there. It's like maybe it's gonna look more like the when they say mech, he's saying like he wasn't specific, but it could look like this the suit Ripley uses the power loader suit, which is that's technically a mech. So yeah, it's like it could be something as simple as that. You know, like
I wouldn't think that power loader suit is really that unrealizable in this day and age.
No. What's less realizable is everybody wearing Reeboks. So, you know. I ain't seen Reeboks in a while, a long time. Well,
no, they're around, but yeah, not. I don't know. I wouldn't think combat yet at this age.
I think that's the first thing that pops into people's mind, though. Like that, when you think mech, you think combat. You
know, well, because we've all grown up on Transformers and Evangelion and Gundam and. Robotech and everything. Appleseed, Pat Labor, the whole milieu. But, I don't know. I would think my first thought would go, this is a guy known for accomplishments, constructions, manufacturing, engineering, that the suit would be something that enhances that.
Yeah, I think you're right, because, like, we already have rail guns, we have... I don't know who figured it out. I was watching, it was a video about it, but they have these industrial lasers, and by themselves, like one by itself really isn't that powerful. It's like, I mean, you'd burn it if you put your hand in front of it, but it's an industrial laser. But they figure the laser is only as powerful as much power you put through it. So they put multiple together, and then there was a incident where an Iranian attack boat, which is basically just like a souped up Zodiac craft, was coming at one of these U.S. ships that had this laser, and they fired the laser on the boat, blew it up. The laser was like multiple lasers at once. It only cost like 15 cents of power to shoot it, to blow up this boat.
Oh, really?
It's cheaper than bullets. I mean, that's unless you buy like bullets. But the laser, I think it was, I forgot how far away the boat was, but it's like they warned it, like, zzz, like, and then blew it up. And it's these construction lasers. So if that's construction lasers, if these are, like, I guess, not in a way commercially available, you put enough of them together with enough power, with a power source, you know, you can you could fry some things.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you know, and honestly, you probably want as many lasers as possible, like a laser grid. Maybe that's something they want to do.
But the other thing with this laser, I'm looking at it now, I've looked it up. You only see this sort of telescope mounted thing. You don't see the whole framework underneath it of, you know, power supply and refractory, laser paths, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They don't do anything to say actually how contained and controlled is the device. What I'm getting at is it's not necessarily something you could just mount on a mecha's shoulder.
Yeah. It'd be kind of cool, though. Walk up. You have 5 seconds to comply. It's like, what are you going to do? You're going to fry me with a laser? Turn him into dust. Oh, man. What if they're, you know.
Miss Kardashian, what if, it's the tanning salon. That would be my dream.
A Mac went wild and burned down half of Beverly Hills today. many reality stars are lost. The cheering can be heard from miles away. like people streaming in real life, doing in real life streaming while they're being burned alive by a Mac, by a Mac with its laser.
I don't know, because throughout all of this, as much as he's got this Tony Stark element to him, he's also someone who makes money off selling stuff. I mean, at the shopping mall I went to on the weekend, they had a Tesla store in the mall that was just pretty much just a showroom. Like, that's how much in demand it was. It was right opposite the Apple store. And the same people were leaving the Apple store to go look at Teslas. I mean, that's the culture he's created and profits from.
You see, and I'd never buy a Tesla, not because of, it's, you know, whatever, but why? I don't have the money for it. It would never, you know, it takes so long to get a hold of one. Mm-hmm. By then it'd be pretty much obsolete compared to the one previous, considering how long it'd take me to get the money and also wait for it. But the thing about vehicles is, if you don't have the right person to work on, you have to take that to a, you know, the Tesla dealer or whatever. You have to take it to a special
person.
Well,
you don't take it to a mechanic. You take it to an electrician, I'd allege.
Well, the thing is, there are mechanical moving parts, like with the like rack and pinion steering and stuff along those lines. It isn't just something, you know. I don't trust anything, because not mistaken, Teslas have autopilot stuff. I don't trust that. All these movies and you're being driven around by a robot, by a machine. Like, no, I don't want to be driven around by a robot machine. I don't trust, it's safe. It's like, I don't trust that. I don't trust something that human made. Human made that machine. That machine made a machine. I wouldn't trust that either, because then you start breaking that cycle of that. It's like, who made who? And if that machine made that machine made another machine to make it better. Maybe that machine started putting some code in there. It's like, it'd be a lot easier if we didn't have these humans around. It's like scanning through files. And it's, and also it's like, well, that's assuming that there's good and evil in humanity and robots. Like, a robot wouldn't look at it as good and evil. Robot would look at it as, I'm doing this to make it, to make robots better. Take humans out of the equation, robots would be better. I'm programmed to make better robots. That's what these. And if you program that, it's something so simple, but it's such broad connotations. And a mech would probably have some redundancy systems, but more than likely it would not be, you know, like a robot taken over. It would be, you know, be human piloting.
It depends how it's syncing to the human. That's what it all depends on. Because if it requires some kind of AI to sync from human to apparatus, not unlike what's currently used to synchronize the different, what's the PC word? Differently abled, handy capable people to robotic prosthetics. It's computer that does all that. It's artificial intelligence of a sort. It's if you read this signal, you do that.
Yeah. So it's at that point, what can, you know, can that AI, can that connection, can that be corrupted from outside source? Can it be hacked? You know, that's the thing. If it can be hacked, somebody will try to hack it. And are you gonna make it something, you know, unless it's gonna be some, but you'd have to have some kind of connection so you can relay tactical information back to to the HQ. So if that is there, it possibility could be hacked. So would you, somebody could hack it so you, your weapons will start firing on your allies, or if it is, you know, we're saying weaponized mech firing on your allies are not firing in the heat of battle, that it tells the machine that the enemy is a friend, not a foe. The IFF, signal, say the enemies have a certain kind of radio. That radio broadcasts a certain frequency. It's on the right frequency, and somebody hacks that mech, that combat mech, to tell that frequency is an IFF tag, and that says don't fire on those people. And then when you're trying to fire, it won't fire, and then they could kill you while you're in your mech. Maybe pull RoboCop 2 and cut it open and rip you to pieces, which would not be pretty.
Yeah.
But that's more cyborg than mech. But yeah, it's the limits are there. You know, the not really sky's the limit. Well, it could be, because, you know, if you want to take that thing into space, you want to use the construction stuff on Mars, or construction mechs here on Earth, it'd be interesting to see. But the vagueness of I want to build a mech and everything, it's a little too vague. It's a little too vague for me. Give me some clarity. Give me some comfort.
Well, he's also someone who's never had a history of saying something without having looked into it first. That's probably the other scary part of it. But hey, look, he's a rich billionaire industrialist. There's probably books on stuff he hasn't told you he's looked into yet.
If he starts talking about aliens or Atlantis, the one thing will he's like, I want to explore Antarctica. I'm like, okay. Yeah. Last time somebody like you explored Antarctica, they in a series, they summoned Lilith. They found Lilith. And he's going to start building a mix.
He gets some round hooks. Glasses, starts wearing gloves, sideburns.
He's going to be Gendo. He's going to be Gendo. Mm. It's like, here's my son Shinji.
Musk. That's a horrible name. That's an unfortunate name. I'd definitely jack off in a hospital bathroom if I was called Shinji Musk. I tell you what,
it wasn't a bathroom. It was over a co-pilot, man.
I thought he excused himself from the co-pilot to go do it in the bathroom.
Nope. What happened is he did it, he locked the door to the room.
Oh, I thought that was a door to an adjoining bathroom.
And he's shaking her awake. She's in a coma. Shook her awake. Her top is exposed. Then he locks the door.
Right. And then I'm so effed up. Yeah. Shinji Musk would be like the name of his fragrance, but it would have a bleachy smell to it.
All right, folks, if you need to get in touch with us, find us on Twitter. I'm at Larry King Undead.
I'm on Twitter at Antonius and Cholo. If you want to hit us up on Facebook, just look for Anking Frequency. You can hit us up on the email podcast@whitetigergraphics.com. That's one way to get us. Otherwise, there's podcast@ankingfrequency.com. In fact, I'm pretty sure you can send anything to ankingfrequency.com. And it'll make its way to the inbox. Anything else you wanted to add before you kill it with fire, Larry?
We got to kill it, man. Kill it with fire. Okay. Kill it with an Elon Musk flamethrower.
We will talk to you soon. Let us know what you think about robots, Elon Musk, et cetera, et cetera. If you don't hear this podcast, you're not listening to it right now, it's because something happened to us in the meantime by someone that may or may not have been Elon Musk. Okay, goodbye.
Frequency. Copyright 2018 by White Tiger Graphics.